Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined by Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. CAO Riggs, you're looking ahead to 2020. You know, the budget itself, I understand that's got to be kind of a challenge because there's uncertainty with ballot measures coming in March and how much revenue is going to be available. But what do you know at this point in regards to how revenues are looking?
So right now, our revenues continue to stay on track. Thankfully, local revenues have continued to increase at a steady pace, meaning our sales tax, our TOT, and our property tax. Unfortunately, just not enough to keep up with the cost of doing business. This last year, we went through a process of really trying to become much more transparent in the way that we put our budget together. So we made sure our department heads, each of them had a chance to get up and present to the board to talk about their services. They talked about what was mandated and then what they recommended. And we also make sure we listed when those departments would present. So if there were individuals in our community who were interested in any specific type of service, they could go on that day and they could listen. It was a great opportunity. What the concern that I have is, and we presented this to the board, is that based on what we know right now, we're looking at, again, of a projected deficit. And I know we hear, oh, but you project this every year, and we do, and we continue to look at the way we use our resources. But it's real, and we have continued to condense and reorganize in a way that we could be forced to look at reducing services this next year. And that's a huge concern of all of us, the board especially. And so you'd hit on the revenue measure. There's a lot of questions about the revenue measure. We brought that as an option for the board. The board chose to put that on, not necessarily because they support taxes, because none of them, I would say, support raising taxes, but they wanted to give the community a chance to decide on, do they want to maintain the current level of services, or do we want to, are they okay with those decreasing? And so that's what we'll be working through this next year. We expect to continue to fine-tune our budget transparency as we walk into the next budget year. I'm very excited. We have a new budget software that will be much more accurate. We spend a lot of time trying to find any errors that might happen with this current outdated system. And we will continue to have these budget meetings to be in front of the board so that we can hear ideas and hear concerns of our community.
If the budget or the ballot measures don't pass, you know, the type of services that'll be reduced, has that been decided at this point, or will that be decided afterwards?
That won't be decided until the board listens to everyone. The board always will be the one to make those decisions. My job as a county administrator is to come in with a recommendation for a balanced budget and then to give the board some alternatives. We do know that our community, their first priority is always public safety, and that comes in the form of many ways, but first looking at law enforcement and fire. So I could see that they may look at giving, keeping those whole as much as possible, but really it's up to the board, and they will have to weigh the what we have for resources between revenues and expenditures and balancing that with the priorities.
Seems too, over recent months, there have been quite a few new department heads that have come into Tuolumne County government. Has that transition been going pretty smoothly, and are there quite a few new people?
We have. So we have replaced about 6 or 7 high-level positions. We say high-level, everything from replacing my position as the assistant county administrator to bringing on an IT director. We reorganized the community resources agency and created a public works director and a community development director. We have a new public defender. Economic development, we had brought in an economic development director. We more recently just changed that to more accurately reflect what the board's priorities are for that position, which are business assistance and innovation. We have a new human services agency director, and then we will also be recruiting very soon, and it should be go out this month. Our chief probation officer has let us know she plans to retire, so that recruitment will begin so that we can get that position recruited for and hopefully get them on board within about 2 weeks of her leaving, so we can have a little bit of overlap there.
How about the county government buildings downtown? There are many historic buildings that county government uses. Has it been difficult during the lean budget times to try to keep those buildings up?
We have. So when we focus on, when we have a, you're balancing resources and you're trying to keep services, people are services. So when you're keeping the services going and you are very lean in revenues, you tend to neglect your infrastructure. And that has happened in terms of our buildings. We have not invested in some of them. We have, we need generators. We don't have our HVAC systems, our heating and cooling systems, and our elevators. They're old. They're sometimes 30 to 50 years old. And we need to look at those systems and we need to repair and bring them them up to date. If those systems go out in our two main buildings, both the Board of Supervisors admin or our Francisco building where Public Works and Community Development is, if either of those were to go out, the HVAC or the elevator, those buildings would have to be closed. So that will be something else we're bringing to the board with budget, is looking at some of those costs and building them in as we move forward.
Seems like your office is very aggressive when it comes to searching out for grant funding as well. Are there any potential grants out there for that type of thing with buildings?
We've looked at a lot of grants. There are some community revitalization. There's grants and loans, so we're looking at both. We're meeting with individuals. We did just find out that the USDA has very low interest loans, and they are over a 40-year period where they will pay for both infrastructure repairs to buildings and to roads. And we all know that both of those need updating in our community.
Anything else that we haven't talked about on this weekend show that's keeping you busy this time of year?
We do a lot of focus with our staff this last year, and I think that's been incredibly important. If we have happy staff, we have engaged staff, we provide better services, and that equates to better community service. And so we continue to engage. We have been doing, our office goes in and engages with different departments. We have seen an incredible change in the way that our employees are engaging, and I'm hoping to see that continue. And that happens by building relationships. So when we focused on relationship building externally within the community, we are focusing on relationships internally within our department, so that we are now looking across agencies and across departments, so that people who've never worked together before are now working together, and the ideas that come out of that are phenomenal, and we expect that we will continue doing that.
Back to the issue you mentioned, grant funding earlier, what kind of figures has the county received in grant funding over the past couple of years?
So we were putting together a community forum presentation. Supervisor Gray had said he'd like to see us include the amount of funding that staff have secured over the last few years. So we did that. And we know that this is not a finite number, because we know there's a few other grants that staff had not submitted to us. But over the last 5 years, we have secured over $45 million in grant funding, and that doesn't include the $15 to $18 million for our community resiliency centers. So $45 million for our small community is huge. And those are funds we would not have received otherwise without our staff being proactive, getting out there, doing the applications, and inserting themselves at state and federal levels to secure funding to bring back that funding into our county.
Got just a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. And one thing that we haven't talked about is homeowners insurance. I know you spoke to Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara last year. You were helpful in bringing him to Tuolumne County. Anything new you're hearing on that issue right now?
I would imagine that many have heard the insurance commissioner put out some information about moratoriums. And what's confusing about the moratoriums is it's really about those areas that experienced fires last year. So what we are working on is to make sure that other counties are included in that. So even if you haven't had a fire, but you are a community or a county that has been experiencing these cancellations or increases in premiums, that we get included in that. And I am always reminding both the governor's office and the insurance commissioner's office that Tuolumne County, this didn't just start the last couple of years. We've been experiencing this since the Rim Fire in 2013. And what's interesting about that is we didn't have the home loss that any of these others had, thankfully. But it's very strange to think that without those number of home losses that we are experiencing the level of cancellations that we experience in our county. So we continue to advocate on behalf of our homeowners.
Well, CAO Riggs, we'll have to end on that note. It sounds like it's going to be another busy 2020. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, BJ.
Again, we thank Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.